Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
The title to my series is, Do You Have an Image? Okay? Do you have an image? And part one to the series is called, Your God-Birthed Image. Now, in the question, do you have an image, you kind of have to define what an image is in order to answer that question. And by definition, the word image is a visible impression obtained by a camera, telescope, or microscope. An optical appearance produced by light from an object reflected in a mirror or refracted through a lens. Synonyms to an image is mirror image, likeness, representation, photograph, or snapshot. Okay, so that's basic biology, like I think it was grade 9, grade 10, biology science, where it was talking about the light that moved through a lens and how it created a whole image, that whole thing. I'm not going to go into detail about that, but that is in short what an image is about. Now, in high school, we had this saying or this phrase that we called people who were either very arrogant, thought very highly of themselves, were full of pride or whatever. We had this Afrikaans saying that, you see, had like an image. You had a rechte image. And in English, it's basically the same. You've got a lekker image. But that didn't come from a heart of love and sincerity. That was really just sarcasm, blatant sarcasm. Because the person is arrogant and you're like, yes, you got such an image. And I was also one of those guys that were called you've got a lekker image every now and then. And God's grace has impacted my life and changed me. So I don't get call that phrase any longer, which is awesome. But to have a good image about yourself is vitally important. To have a God image about yourself is so important for yourself to be successful in this life and to reach everything that God has got for you. Now, a guy from the Bible who had a pretty good image about himself is the old Moses. And in Numbers 12, verse 3, in the New Living Translation, says, Moses was more humble than any person on the face of the earth. Okay, who of you know that Moses was the writer of Numbers? So Moses was here stating that I'm the most humble person on the face of the earth. Okay, how could he have made such a statement? Did he really know every person on the face of the earth, their level of humility? No, obviously not. This scripture was inspired by God. Only God knew every person on the face of the earth and their level of humility. So yeah, when Moses writes, Moses was the most humble person on the face of the earth. First of all, that was God-inspired. God said that about Moses. And then second of all, if you go look at the context of the passage, you're going to get more detail as to why the statement was made. Then thirdly, Moses was super confident in God's ability in him. Not his own ability, but God's ability in him. If you go and look at Moses' whole life, he made some blunders and he made some mistakes. He kind of doubted God in a lot of cases. But most of all, like, when he succeeded, he was giving God the glory. And that is why Moses was a humble person. Now, just like Moses, each one of you has been created in an image. Each one of you has been created in an image. A God image. Each person on earth is loved and valued by God. There's no person on the face of this earth that is like another person. Every person is unique. Like David also shared in the video. Like, there's never going to be someone like you. And there has never been someone like you. Each one of you are perfectly unique. If you just look at creation, go and get rooted. The first lesson, it talks about creation from day 1 to day 6. How everything has been created. Like the heaven, the stars, the moons, the planet, the animals, the plants. Everything was created with a purpose, for a purpose. Okay? It's beautiful to see that man was the last thing created by God. God created this perfect home for us. This perfect home. We've got so much abundance on this earth. We can't even understand it. And there's going to continue to be abundance. God created that all just for us. And love was the motivation. Just like love was the motivation when God sent Jesus Christ to the cross. It was motivated by love. If you look at anything created on earth, like I've said, that the planet, everything has an effect on something else. The moon, the sun, everything has an effect. There's a whole circle of life. happening. Everything was created with a purpose. Now, man was created... Well, I'm not going to jump the gun. Almost jumped the gun. Even this iPad, if I... this iPad in my hand, it was created with a purpose. Well, it's not an iPad. It's a notepad. For those of you who are technical, it's Samsung. So this was created with a purpose, right? Now, one of two things is going to happen if I don't use this iPad according to its created purpose, okay? If I start using this iPad as a frisbee or as a cutting board, it's gonna damage this iPad. Then on the other hand, if I don't use this iPad to its full potential, to its full benefits, I'm not going to get the most out of it. Like if I'm just using this iPad. If I'm use this notepad and continue to use it just as a way or means to make notes on, there's so much more I can do with it. I can do emails on there. I can do Excel spreadsheets. I can download apps. I can watch movies. There's so much more. But I'm going to limit this if I don't use it for its full potential. Now, if we as human beings want to reach our full potential in life, we need to look at our operating system. Just like this notepad has an operating system, a driving force, so do we. We have an operating system. We have a driving force that is driving us forward. And if we want to reach our full potential in life and not get damaged, we need to look at our operating system, our inner image, and see if it reflects the image that God created it to reflect. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28, it says, "And God said, 'Let us make man in our image and after our likeness.'" This is beautiful. God isn't saying, "I'm going to make man in the image of a tree or in the image of a dog." God said, "I'm going to make man in my image, in our likeness." That is showing intimacy. That is showing identity, DNA. We're going to look at DNA later. And continue, said, "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea." Yet God is giving them control, authority. "And over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. Who of you knows that when God says you are blessed, you are blessed? Amen. So God says here, he blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." Now I'm going to jump to chapter 2 in Genesis verse 7. I'm going to come back to this passage just now. Genesis 2 verse 7 says, "And then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." This forming is talking about a sculpting, a fashioning. Like a potter fashioning or sculpting or a molding a pot. There's hands, there's intimacy involved when a potter is making a pot. There's personal touch that is getting involved there. And that is what God did when he created man. There was a personal touch. There was an intimacy between God and man. And then God said, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God breathed into man his DNA, his image. That's beautiful. Gonna jump to verse 15. And it says, "And the Lord God took man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Here God gave man a work, a job. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die.'" Now if you missed out the teaching on how to be happy and where Shane went into the whole aspect of, there was roughly about 2,000 edible trees in the garden when Adam and Eve was there. About 2,000. And Satan, the enemy, came to make Adam and Eve focus on the one tree that they shouldn't eat of. He made them somehow forget about 1,999 fruit that they could eat of. Are you all with me? I think I've roughly eaten about 100 odd fruit, different fruit. I don't know about you, if you fruit fondies. Like, 1,999 fruit that Satan, the enemy, somehow made Adam and Eve forget about it completely and make them focus on the one thing that they didn't have or they couldn't eat of. Okay, get the resource. It was really awesome. Okay, in verse 18 it says, "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet.'" Again, God wanted man to have a companion, to have a friend. that they could relate with on a human level and be fruitful with and multiply. Now, there's a saying that holds true. You become like the God you serve. You become like the God you serve. If your image of God is a God of anger, wrath, holding your sin against you, then you're going to be a negative person. You're going to look like someone that has been baptized in lemon juice. It's true. I've seen many people like that. Luckily, I'm not one of them. I was one of them. Okay, now, so these two passages of scripture from Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, brings out a very important element that I want to share with you this evening. You are created to reflect an image. That image has four aspects to it. First of all, identity. Identity. God made man in his image, after his likeness. That is identity. That is your identity that has been given to you. That's intimate relationship. That is DNA of God. So that's first. Secondly, authority. God gave man dominion over everything that is on this earth. Control. Reign and life. The series is out there. It was awesome. It was 20-something weeks of teaching. It is really good. Reigning in life. How to reign in life. Get the teachings at the back. Then thirdly, blessings. God blessed man. That is equipping. That is giftings that has been given by God. Everything we need for life. I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. It's not on the screen. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says that, according as his divine power has given us everything that pertain unto life and godliness. Not something, not 10% of everything, not 20% of everything, but he's given us everything that pertain unto life and godliness, according to the knowledge of Christ, who's called us unto glory and virtue. That's beautiful. This is the blessing, the gift that has been given to you. Now, I want to pause there and say that if God's called you to something, if he's put a desire on your heart to do something, he's either busy preparing you to accomplish that, or has already given you the things, the gifts that you need, the abilities that you need in order to fulfill that. So don't be scared if God calls you to plant a church in India or go on to do a mission trip or whatever. God is going to provide the finances. He knows when he's called you that there's stuff that needs to take place in order for you to go. Okay? God knows. He knows so much more than that. So yeah, I just want to make this point that God has blessed us with everything that we need to do what we need to do. The fourth element that I want to bring out here is purpose. To work or to use these gifts, these abilities that we've been given by God. To put our hand to the plow. Deuteronomy 28 verse 8 says that whatever you put your hand to the plow, it will be blessed. Okay, there's a part that you need to play in order to enjoy these blessings. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 8 verse 18. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives thee power or ability to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto his fathers, as it is this day. The giftings and abilities that you've been given, like it's not just for you to go and sit at home and hoard up for yourself. The world says that. Take all you can and can all you get. Okay, that's what the world says. Keep everything to yourself. But when you start sharing these gifts, these abilities that you've been given, you're going to see so much more increase in your life, so much more of God's blessing. If you just look at some of the spiritual gifts within the body of Christ, the gift of hospitality. Like, who are you going to be hospitable to if you're sitting alone at home? Like, if you look at the gift of pastoring, shepherding. Like, if you're going to sit alone at home on your couch, who are you going to shepherd? Who are you going to pastor? The gift of exhortation. Whoever knows, when you encourage someone, when you build someone up, you are getting built up. You are getting encouraged. That is how God put things together. When you take your gifts that you've been given by God and you start sharing them with people, you're going to be blessed. You're going to see increase in your life. That's a promise. If you're not agreeing with you, then you haven't tried it yet. I dare you to go and try it. I'm definitely preaching better than you guys are hearing. Okay, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 10 says that he that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for food and multiply your seed sown and increases the fruit of your righteousness. Yeah, again, just painting this picture, like God gives seed and bread for food. If you just want to sit at home and eat your bread, like it's good. But if you want to see increase, sow that seed that you've been given. Sow those gifts with people. Share them with the body of Christ. And you're going to see so much more increase in your life. It is a promise. I'm not making this up. This is from the Word of God. We can only enjoy our gifts and our abilities to the full when we start sharing these gifts with people. And this is counterculture, I know. But Jesus and God, His ways are so much better than this world's ways. Now again, your operating system or your image is the building block for life. How you are wired. If you don't wire yourself according to your design or your image, you're going to burn out. You're going to be broken. If you just look at the wiring of a plug. Like, I'm not an electrician or an electric engineer or anything like that, but I've seen plugs go up in smoke and like crazy things happening. It's scary. Like when something has gone wrong there. And that is generally wiring that has been messed up a little bit. Okay? So the same with you. If you want to reach your full potential in this life, because you only have one, you only have this short life here on earth, and then you're going into eternity with Jesus, which is going to be awesome. But make the most out of this life that you've been given. And the only way to do that is to see this image of yourself, this healthy image, this God-created image. Now I'm going to, for all of the English teachers in here, have grace with me, please. Just want to share a phrase. You do what you are, you aren't what you do. Okay. You do what you are, you aren't what you do. In simple forms, what you do, if it doesn't come from an overflow of what you are, then it's never gonna last. It's never gonna fulfill you. So many people are seeking satisfaction in what they're doing, seeking their identity in what they're doing, and forgetting about who they are. You do what you are, you aren't what you do. If you want to know what you are and what you are capable of, you need to know who God is, because you were created in His image, in His identity. Now, if you're thinking about Adam and Eve and the whole catastrophe that happened in the garden where they basically lost everything, messed everything up for us, I've got good news for you. Go with me to Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 21, stating this exact same thing. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God. All these new things that have become new, says that all those things are of God, of God's image, of His identity, of His DNA. All things that have become new. Continues, it says, who hath reconciled us to Himself, drawn us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to witness that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing, not holding their trespasses against them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Your representation, you are representing Jesus Christ, because you were made in His image. Continues, as though God had beseeched you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled unto God. For He has made Him to be sin for us, talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God is righteousness. We are made the righteousness of God in Him. We don't become something. This is your image. This is your identity. You are made that through receiving Jesus Christ. The awesome news is that Jesus came to restore basically what was lost in the garden by Adam and Eve. came to restore our image, our identity, our authority, the blessings, everything that's been given to us, and our purpose. It's been restored by Jesus Christ. That's awesome. Yeah, thanks for those witnesses. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says in the ERV version, the Son shows the glory of God. He is a perfect copy. We're talking about an express image of God's nature. And He holds everything together by His powerful command. The Son made people clean from their sins. Then He sat down at the right side of God, the great one in heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4, also from the ERV. The ruler of this world has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They cannot see the light of the good news, the message about the divine greatness of Christ. Christ is the one who is exactly like God. Christ is the express image of God, the exact copy of God. The enemy has sold this lie to mankind. And this is talking about that lie. Blinded people from seeing in whose image they were created. Blinding people from seeing their identity, their authority, the blessings that they've been given, and their purpose in life. John 1 verse 18 says, no one has ever seen God. The only Son, talking about Jesus, is the one who has shown what God is like. He is Himself God and is very close to the Father. And then 1 John 4 verse 17 is talking about, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. This is again talking about Jesus Christ. As He is, His image, so are we in this world. Same image, same likeness. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17 is also saying, He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with Him. You, the exact copy of Jesus Christ. Exact image, exact DNA. Romans chapter 8 verse 29 says, for whom did He foreknow, He also did predestinate us to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn of many brethren. This is the new covenant of Jesus Christ being born, being raised from the dead. He is the first son of many brethren. Again, when you're born, when you've got brothers, that's the same DNA. You're sharing the same DNA. When you're born of God, born again, you're sharing the same DNA, the same image. That's beautiful. We are made in the image of God, in the image of Christ. That is why Jesus said in John 14 verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, meaning he that is born again, the works that I do shall he also do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Like I said, you do what you are. Jesus said, if you believe on me, or if you believe in me, if you are born again, you are my image. You're going to do the same works as I do, and even greater works. You do what you are, you aren't what you do. That's your DNA, that's your image, that's your identity that Jesus reemphasized here. In 1 John 5 verse 4, it says, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. See, if you are born of God, if you are born again, you are born into the family, into the image, into that identity, that DNA. And God has overcome the world. John 16 verse 33 is also talking about Jesus has overcome this world. And you are born with Him in His image, His DNA, and that is your victory as well. Amen. Getting encouraged, surely. God's image and His DNA can be seen throughout the whole Bible and the work of Jesus. We already looked at Moses, and we're going to look at another young fellow from 1 Samuel chapter 17. You all know him. It says, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Now just imagine this. Picture this. This is a young shepherd boy. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them. For he is defied the armies of the living God. And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of a lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." David is probably laughing at this, the statement, Saul saying, "Go, the Lord be with you." David is just sharing this resume, like, "I've done this. A bear, a lion, and this Philistine is not going to be anything more than that. This is my image. I'm walking in this image. I'm walking in this DNA, in this victory, because I'm born of God." Okay, that was David's image of himself. That's a beautiful image. I don't know if you have got an image like that, but that is pretty awesome. Now, another example is a guy that most of you know pretty well as well. He goes by the name of Etienne Styles Willemse. And I had a pretty bad image of myself as well. not anymore. So when I was in primary school, I could never really look someone in the eye. I was always shy. I was always timid to some degree. And my rugby coach at the time, he really helped me conquer that fear, that fear of, like, I don't know what the fear was, but I struggled to do that. And he helped me conquer that fear. And from then, my image just started transforming. And I went to study BCom at the university. And still, my image wasn't really reflecting this God-birthed image. It wasn't really reflecting this image of God. And it was a gradual thing. God was continually working in my life and working with me. Because you need to cooperate with God. God isn't going to force you to change. Like, we need to cooperate with God and His desires for us. And I knew I could never fulfill my full potential, reach everything that I wanted to reach with having a bad image about myself, not seeing myself the way that God sees me. And as soon as that image of myself changed, my identity changed, my authority that I walked in, the way that I spoke changed. Like, I know most of you probably know a bunch of people who's also changed in the same manner as their image changed. Like, Kunrad is a perfect example. Carl, Alicia's husband, they're like awesome examples of seeing how they've changed the last few years by changing the image of themselves, seeing themselves in their God-birthed image. And that is there for every one of us to start seeing this image, this perfect image that God created you in, perfect, holy, blameless. And when you start seeing that, you're going to walk with an identity that cannot be shaken. You're going to walk with a boldness to speak to lions and to speak to mountains and to see them move. You get a purpose. You're going to see the blessings of God just overflow in your life, because that is what you're expecting, because God has spoken it, so I can just receive that. We can perfectly see this. If you look at 1 John 4 verse 8, which states that God is love, and 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about this love, this God-like love. It's talking about charity. There's agape love. We see that it's not envious. It's not boastful. It's not rude. It doesn't seek its own. This love never fails. God's love never fails. That is the love of Christ. That is the love of God that is part of your being, part of your DNA. And if you're not experiencing that, then it's not because God is withholding. It's because you don't have that image of yourself. You get to change that image. If you look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit from Galatians chapter 5, talking about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. Now, fruit produces after its kind. Genesis, we also see that God says that every fruit produces after its kind. Okay, an apple seed doesn't produce a pear, and a pear seed doesn't produce an apple. Okay. If you see yourself in the image of God, you're going to produce that same fruit. Like in John 14 verse 12, where Jesus said, "The same works that I do, you'll also do, and even greater works." Why is that? Because you are the same, you cut from the same cloth as Jesus Christ. The same image. You can produce the same works as He. You do what you are. You aren't what you do. That's beautiful. The enemy Satan, since the beginning, Genesis chapter 3, has come against this very thing. You sow doubt in your heart to tell you that you aren't really created in God's image. You aren't really worthy. You don't have authority. You don't have purpose. You don't have any blessings in this life. That is an outright lie. He came and showed Adam and Eve, there's one thing you don't have. If you take this one thing and eat this fruit, you'll become like God. They were created in the image of God. We looked at the verse in Genesis chapter 1. They were created in the image and likeness of God, and Satan told them, no, you have to do this first, and then you'll be like this. That is the only lie, that's the only tactic that the enemy has had since the beginning of creation. He's never changed his tactics. It's always attacking your image. How do you see yourself? What image do you see of yourself? Because when he attacks that, he's attacking your destiny. He's attacking your inheritance. If you look at an inheritance, if you want to claim an inheritance, you need to bring identification. You can't just rock up and be like, I'm the son of the president. It's not going to go down. First of all, yeah. Like, you need identification. Now, you've got the identification of God. You've got the DNA of God. You've got the rightful inheritance. And you need to bring that to the plate. And the only way you do that is by seeing yourself in this image that God created you to be in. Now, what is your image? Does it reflect the image of God? Or does it not? It's one or the other. And if it's not, like I said, you've got the ability to change the image of yourself. No one else can fully change that image of yourself. Even if I look at my rugby coach, he kind of encouraged me to start looking people in the eye and encouraged me, and he probably gave me some good words. I can't remember if it was something specific, but it did change. But my image didn't change fully just because of that one thing. I had a role to play in changing this image and seeing myself different. Now, Romans chapter 3, verse 4, it says, let God be true and every man a liar. This is the word of God. This is the truth that you were created in the image of God. If anything in this life, whether it be people, whether it be the enemy working through people, circumstances, anything changes, if anything is coming against your identity, and it's not coming with the word of God, then it's a lie. Don't take it. Don't receive it. It's not the truth. Like I said, you can change your image as a believer. When you change that, you're changing your identity. You're changing the authority that you're walking with. You're changing the blessings. You start receiving those blessings, those gifts that God's got for you. And you'll start seeing that you've got an awesome purpose in life. You are born in the image of God as a believer. And that is a promise. That is the truth. You get to experience that in this life when you start just changing that image. And next week we're gonna be looking at walking in your God birth image, because there is practical things that we can do as believers to see this manifest in our life. I just shared with you the image that you were created in. This is a promise. This is a truth. When you start seeing that, you're gonna experience every benefit thereof. Thank you, Father, just for this awesome time. Amen. Thank you, Dad, for your word that is alive. Thank you, Father, that your word is the incorruptible seed. And as we take this seed, Father, and the hearts that receive the seed, Father, thank you that those hearts will be open to receive, and yeah, that seed is just germinating, and it's working already now. It's beginning to work, a perfect work, and it's going to produce fruit. It's going to produce fruit that other people are going to be drawn to. Other people are going to be ministered to. Because it's good fruit. Supernatural fruit. Thank you, Father, that as we just go and chew on these truths, as we go and chew on these promises about our image that we've been created in, your perfect image, in your likeness, in your DNA, Father, thank you that as we start doing that, we're going to start walking with an identity that other people are going to be touched by, going to be moved by authority. We're going to start seeing more blessings in our life, Father, as we just open up our hearts to see these things. Thank you, Father, that you're just going to also stir up within each one of us a purpose to see that we've got a God-given purpose for this life. Thank you, Father, that you've done that for me. You've done that for Peter and so many others, Father, where we've just stepped into a greater calling. because we just seek your face. Thank you, Father, that each one of us can know that we won't be fulfilled doing anything less than what you've got for us. And it's very simple. By just seeking you, by just seeing our God-birthed image, those things will come to pass. It's that easy. It's that simple. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.